She's winding up. She's getting to second, but Pride of Jenny at the 200. My goodness, 15 in front. Declan Bates goes for the whip, riding a ride out. There's no need. This is a demolition job. Pride of Jenny in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. My, oh, my.
G'day, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Triple J Racing Weekly. I went away last weekend to Hobart with the ball and chain. And Bryce is DJing at a wedding tonight, so he's actually recording from the venue. So the boys are under a pump, a bit of the pump here. But how are you going up there anyway, mate?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate. All good, mind. The big races are back. It's spring coming up, and yeah, a lot of stars in returning this weekend, mate. Lots of features are back, so I'm really pumped to see how a lot of runners go. I'm sure we'll a lot of first up runs, so we'll have a lot to learn this weekend.
The Winx Stakes, mate. Group 1 Winx Stakes on the weekend. And as you mentioned, having a look at that field, that's a race nearly every year. I'll just let that race go around because you mentioned it briefly just then. Nearly every runner in that race is first up. And I think they should just call it the Kieran Maher and Chris Waller Cup because I think there's only there's about eight runners in the field between those two stables. So that'll be an interesting one. But, mate, we're not going to muck around here tonight because you've got a bit on your plate and you're expecting a massive crowd at this wedding. So we'll get straight into tipping winners for the team. Firstly, we'll go to Randwick. Obviously, at the moment, it's a soft five. The rail's out 3 metres. I know you've been a fan of on-pace horses. Is that the way you're going to play it at Randwick on Saturday as well?
Yeah, mate, I'll stick with the on-paces. I think that's the way it's going to play. I feel like it's a safer option. I do like it the days when everyone gets their chance, but more often than not, I feel like it's on speed.
Yep, couldn't agree more. I think Brad Davidson put up a good thing one day that I listened to. And, you know, you talk about back markers, like Smashing Eagle the other week when I tipped that. Probably had one of the runs of the race, but runs home, runs third, and, you know, sits any closer, wins the race. But some horses are just like that. I reckon it's going to be very, very fair on the weekend. I think it'll be tempo related. So if the races are run fast enough, back markers will get their chance. If they're not, well, you want to be on the speed. And going into that, mate, we've got a Triple J racing runner in the first, the Midway, 1,200 metres headstock. He's obviously a stable favourite of ours, purchased for $12,000. And this preparation alone, he's won 55 grand from 10 starts, obviously, you know, mainly because we've had three dry tracks in his last couple. So he's on his third start in 21 days, third seven-day backup. But taking on the likes of Smashing Eagle, Bundina, well-timed, a couple of nice horses. How do you think he's going to go on the weekend, mate? Do you think he's ready for the step? I'll be had a couple of nice results in the last few starts.
Yeah, definitely. I was impressed with the last start win. Did everything right, mate, giving a peach, but loomed to win and never looked like losing on the bend. I thought it was a really ultra-impressive win. And I don't mind the runner-up, actually. I have a pretty good opinion of the runner-up who was quite good as well. So I think that's the right form. I think he'll run well, mate. He looks ready to step up again in grade.
Yeah, he had the big weight there last start as well. I thought that might be a bit of a hindrance for him, but they went fast enough up front. He was able to get over the top. So regardless of how he goes on the weekend, it's a big thrill for the team to have him up there on a Group 1 day and very exciting. Mate, I've got a selection in race 2 I'm actually pretty keen on. It's benchmark 78 over 2,400 metres. Curidar is the horse I like at $4.40. I backed him last start. I thought he had a bit of a strange or poor ride the start prior, and J-Mac made a bit of a strange jockey switch last start from one Chris Waller runner to him, and he was beaten that day by Awesome Wonder. He meets that horse 2 kilograms better at the waist this time. He's drawn perfectly. He's rock hard fitting him after a couple of, you know, those longer 2,400 meter trips. I think this is an extremely winnable race, and he looks well over the odds, so I think he should be about $3 for mine. Have you got any opinion of that race too?
I'll steer clear, mate, but yeah, I was also thinking about the jockey change you mentioned. I was a bit confused there as well. I didn't know if that was a tactic or what the go was, but yeah, I also did realize that.
Beautiful. Yeah, I thought J-Mo gave the horse a great ride last start. It was just an Awesome Wonder, you know, sometimes when they get momentum and they're chasing, it's a lot easier to get the result. So I think it's a great bet at $4.40. Mate, I'm getting into your territory here as well. I'm diving into the Tab Highway, and I don't know if I'm wild or not, but I'm going the favourite. Class 2 Highway over 1,100 metres. This number 16, Creon from the Danny Williams stable. something's obviously gone amiss with this horse along the way. He's a 4-year-old and he's only had the one start, but he absolutely bashed up a field at Gundagai in that only start, 4.5 lengths, and he also bashed the clock that day for the grade. And J Max seems to be wasting to ride this horse, you know, down to the 55.5. I'm wondering if there's any chance this is a dead set out of the box Kosciuszko hope. I know that I've heard whispers of the Danny Williams has a massive opinion of this horse, but what I'd suggest to listeners is, you know, if you're a 30 or a $50 punter, I'd be having 40 on the win Creon, and I'd be having 10 at the 51s in the Kosciuszko just in case. This is why J Max here. But have you had a look at Creon at all, mate? I've got any opinion?
I didn't actually catch that the win that you're talking about. I saw that it's been quite a lengthy break, so I'm interested to see how it does go returning. Atmospheric Rock probably needs a run, but I've always got time for that. And I thought that Palazzo Prince was really good last prep. I mean, it's win two starts back was it was not supposed to win from where it was. It's got a huge turn of foot, but it is a, as we touched on, a back marker, so it always needs a little bit of luck in running. But yeah, I'll be watching keenly, mate, on that favourite, and I'm sure the market will know what's going on late in the piece, especially being like a bigger day. The ones that know it will be backing it late. So yeah, I'm keen to see how it goes, mate. I'm probably, and this is strange of me, but I'm probably going to steer clear of this highway, which is uncharacteristic of me, mate. So I'll let you take the reins on that one this weekend.
Very interesting with your favorite horse Consenza in the race, but I just think there might be a real, it's just funny timing, you know. Danny Williams has this horse, has he been sort of cuddling it under wraps, you know, and then comes out conveniently for Kosciuszko timing. So we'll get on Creon and we'll have a little bit on the $51 Kosciuszko as well. But race five, mate, you've got one for listeners. Obviously, the Premier's Cup over 2,000 meters. Who do you like there?
Yeah, no spoilers here, mate. I'm gonna be with the fave. I just think at the moment getting out to $2 was a superb win last start. It's just it was trucky in the run, won by just under 2 lengths. I just think it meets a limited field here, mate. Canberra Legend only gets so many chances, doesn't it? Sir Lucan's 4 out of 23, and Touristic's 4 out of 26, and Redstone Wells 4 out of 20. So none of these really win out of turn. You've got a mixture of this bunch where they've sort of won maybe 15-20% of their races. So I'm going with the one with the upside, the Import, and Gay Waterhouse. Expect it right up in the firing line. It's won 7 of 9 and 5 out of 5 over this trip, mate. It hasn't really seen a good track is the only thing. But yeah, I think at $2, it looks pretty bulletproof. What do you think?
I think you summed that up quite nicely, mate. Like, there's a couple of horses here that came over here and had massive raps on them. You mentioned Canberra Legend. You've also got the likes of Cleveland from Chris Lees. I think that I was actually there with that day that horse won at Moonee Valley, and I backed it at $6.50. But every other start it's had in Australia, it's had large raps and hasn't quite, you know, done the job. So, as you said, the horse has won seven and placed 2 out of 9. It's a pretty consistent galloper on the way up. It'll roll to the front. Make every post a winner, and I think you probably found the right horse. You're also keen on a filly, mate, in the 1200 meter Silver Shadow Stakes, race six. Who do you like there?
Yeah, favorite again. I'm not usually massive on taking a heap of favorites, but Manal, I just think it's stacked with upside. Its form's really good. It's had one run on the heavy where it knocked up, but other than that, it's barely put a foot wrong. 3 out of 4 on this track. It's just looks a pretty safe bet, I think. So it's probably short enough right now, but I do think that's the right price, mate. It's gonna be hard to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a little bit of a statistic going around that some fillies find it really hard to carry that top weight to win this race. But Manal's a very, very classy horse. The only other runner I was half interested in was Erno's Cube, at the only at the price,
Yeah.
$8.50. I really like the fact that she's had the two trials this time in, and I thought they were both very good trials to the eye. And you look through her regular, she's only been beaten by very, very good horses. She won the Group 2 Riesling Stakes last preparation, finished third in the Percy Sykes, and then went straight out for a break. So she didn't have a real taxing campaign. And again, talking about consistency, you know, the horses had two wins and three placings from the seven starts in all very good company 2-year-old races. So excited to see how she returns. And Mark Zahra rides. So I think there's a little bit of confidence around Erno's Cube.
Yeah, definitely. That's the one I have penned as the danger. I'm worried about it. It's been in some handy races. Yeah, it's stacked with upside. That'd be hard to beat.
I'm gonna skip the Chris Waller and Kieran Maher Cup in race 8 and head to race 9, which is the Toy Show Quality over 1100 meters. In Erno's Kib's last trial, she was beaten by Mumbai Muse, $12 and $3 here. And I just think her trials, she's had two trials, Mumbai Muse, this preparation. And I've obviously tipped Erno's Kib, as I mentioned, out of the most recent one, but she looked to be trucking along absolutely fantastic in that trial. And away from the top weight in this race, there seems to be a bit of a compressed weight scale. You got Lady Laguna at 61, and then you've got Opal Ridge at the 56, and then every other horse in the race is floating around 54, 53. And I just really like the fact that Mumbai Muse has had those two really, really nice lead up trials. You know, won the last one convincingly. I think the horse is coming in to this race probably in the best trial form of its career, and last preparation finished 3 lengths off Estriella off a slight freshen up. So I think Mumbai Muse is great value with the $12 and $3. Did you have any opinion there?
Oh, mate, this is one of the hardest races I've seen, and especially with so many of them first up and so much class in this field, it's dead set. I looked at it and I thought, you just could back six or seven of these and still miss. It's you don't really know who's winning up and who's not. I mean, it's just yeah, stacked. So and it's the same with the race prior. There's a few that are really really stacked on this card. I mean, Commemorative has got stacks of upside. If it's not heavy, it's going to be hard to beat. Opal Ridge, we know that's is tough war horse. Dancing Alone's got the class. Lady Laguna's got the class of this field, and it's just probably the best horse in the race. And Komochi's also never far away. So yeah, mate, I'm probably going to steer clear of this, and also steer clear of the race prior, the Waller race as well.
How good is it though this time of the year? You wait for Wednesday afternoon, you open up the betting apps, you have a look at what the prices are, you have a look at which of these gun horses are returning and they're first up, where they're going on the preparation. And like you said, you open up races like this and you just look at the quality in the field, and it just gets you excited and gives you value on the weekend to have a play. You know, there's no $1.90, $2 pops floating around really on the weekend that you'd think were morals or anything like that. And Moonee Valley's the same, mate. Obviously, at the moment, the track at Moonee Valley is rated a soft 5 as well. The rail's out 5 meters, and they're predicting 2 to 5 mil on Friday tomorrow. So, obviously, we're going to be looking for on pace horses as well. I think we had a good little day there when Moonee Valley raced last time out. So, hopefully, we can get that again. Mate, I like a runner in race 2, and it's absolutely one of the roughies in the field, but I could be completely wrong, but I am quite surprised. Zesty Man is $34 and $6. I don't think his two lead-up runs have been that bad in pretty good company. Both of them over the 1,000 meters. I think that's the key for him here. He's third up, out to 1,200 meters, and obviously has that fitness belt there. When there's obviously plenty of speed in this race, but there's also plenty of inexperienced horses in it. And to me, he's looked like he's been in need of the 1200 meters in both of his starts, and we almost get double his price here. After, you know, last start he was trucking along behind Blue Stratum, and you know, coming over the line as good as any, just gave him too much of a start, needed more ground. Can't believe the price there, mate. Have you got any thoughts on that race?
Yeah, probably going to steer clear of this one, mate. But yeah, I agree with what you've said. Hard to beat. It looks over the odds. I'll definitely be jumping on after what you've said.
And you like one real late in the card, mate. Race 8. I've actually got written down here the 10,000 meter Carlion Stakes. I'm hopeful it's not 10,000 meters with a couple of Bold Bastille and a couple of runners like that in the race. It's actually 1,000 meters, 1 kilometer. So who do you like there, mate? You probably like the favourite, I imagine, but maybe not. You do like a bit of value at times.
Yeah, this is a week where I'm going with favorites, and I usually tend to like to swerve away from them unless I'm dead set keen. But I do think Bold Bastille with 50.5, it's pretty good bet. I mean, it's 4 out of 5. I respect Mornington Glory. I've been on it a few times. It's a dead set dry tracker and it's a really good horse. So it's a race of two. But yeah, I thought $3 is fair enough with Jamie Carr aboard. It's done nothing wrong to date. Its form stacked up around it. And I just think it's the one with the upside. Mornington Glory's already had 18 starts. But yeah, last start win was superb. So probably a race of two. It's going to be a race of tactics. But yeah, I think they're a good quinella if you don't want to take the win. But I'm pretty keen to see Bold Bastille return, and I think it'll run really well for backers.
This is another race that just gets me on the edge of me seat, you know, like the likes of Griff returning, you got Golden Boone, Tony Gollins taking the horse down to Victoria, and Blake Shin jumps aboard. Mornings in Glory was a dead set free money last start. You know, it was my best bet on the podcast, and just such a good feeling when it comes off like that. I think the horse was five into $3.20 or something and got the win. Jamie Carr was on, so I guess one push there is, you know, Jamie Carr can get down to 50.5 kilos and rides Bold Bastille here. You'd have to say this horse carrying 5.5 kilos less than the, or 4.5 kilos, sorry, less than the second lowest weight in the field, going to be on the speed, rolling there forward, going to be extremely hard to beat. You know, it's going to be a great race, that one. I couldn't get involved at the price, Bold Bastille, but I think it's going to be very hard to beat. Mate, on that note, we'll just go back to what I was going to mention at the start of the potty, a horse to follow. There's a horse called Monte VB from the Robert and Luke Price stable. Did you catch that race at Warwick Farm yesterday?
No, I didn't catch it. I'll have to go watch the replay.
You'll have to watch the replay. The horse finished seventh over 1100 meters first up. Adam Hieronymus took the ride, was absolutely traveling in beautifully behind the speed. Did not see one little ounce of clear air until 50 meters to go and finished the race off really nicely. Obviously, didn't have a gut buster, but the reason I wanted to mention the horse was that I just think next start we're going to get good value. I believe, talking to Luke Price this afternoon, the horse is heading to the up and coming stakes potentially, which will be in Sydney, I think, next weekend. And he's probably had the perfect little lead up there with a quiet finish. I think he could have won that race yesterday, and I think that there's a big rap on the winner of the race. So I think we all put Monte VB in the black book and hope that the horse goes to the up and coming stakes in Sydney. And the horse should get about 52, 53 kilos, is what I'm hearing. So that'll be great as well. And just wanted to suggest to everyone listening that Triple J Racing, we purchased two really nice horses on English Digital yesterday. A nice 2-year-old unnamed gelding by Ole Kirk. He's a big, strong fella. He's broken in. He's educated. All the hard work's been done. Matty Vella's broke him in. He's a really renowned horseman. He was actually getting prepared for the English Ready to Race sale, but there was an unfinancial owner there. So we've picked up an extremely nice 2-year-old for a great price, extremely affordable. And then we also purchased Perugine from the Tony Gollan yard. 4-year-old. He was a $600,000 yearling by Extreme Choice. Obviously, don't need to talk about him too much as a stallion. He's doing some really good things, Extreme Choice. But 8 starts for a win, 3 seconds, and we're going to take him down to Danielle Saib and try and win a highway. So after listening to that, mate, Brycey, surely I can sell you a share. You're keen to get involved in one of those, aren't you, mate?
I'm keen, mate. Sounds good to me. Definitely get me involved.
You love your Tab Highways as well. We'll be able to get Perugine out there, try and win one, and have a day out in Sydney. We're due for a day out, mate. Hopefully, you can do some DJing for the lads here in Sydney as well, not just everyone up in Queensland.
Mate, that'd be perfect. I'm super keen on that. That sounds unreal.
You know, they've started having DJs at Kembla Grange on a Saturday occasionally, and it's been absolutely fantastic. I might throw your name up to Steve Keane and the fellas down there and see if we can get you in for a day on the DJ so I can just party and listen in and everyone have a great time. What do you reckon about that?
Mate, I'm down. That sounds like a good idea. Absolutely. Count me in.
Beautiful. And we'll get some listeners there as well. And we can get it on and then head into town after that. Well, mate, as I just mentioned before at the start of the potty, you're actually at a wedding venue now, so I'll let you go, but I really appreciate you jumping on and hopefully we've tipped up some winners for listeners.
Sounds good, mate. No worries at all, legend.
Cheers, mate.